Nah, not those Lions. Three Lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen.
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Now with us to talk about the weekend's Gaelic football, we are fast approaching 20 teams out now in the Championship. Breed Stack is on the line. We had routine victories in the extreme for Mayo over the weekend, also for Kerry and Tyrone and Cork. It was shaping up to not be a great weekend. The winning margins ranged from 8 points out to Mayo's 24 point win over Leitrim, and the game of the Championship then rescued, I think, things. Best game of the Championship certainly, along with Offaly Loud a few weeks back. Donegal 16 points to Derry's 15 points. Breed, great to have you with us. How you doing?
Good, Joe. How are you keeping? Are you well?
Yeah, very well. There was a point in Ballybuffet on about 47, 48 minutes where Derry took a 4-point lead, and in the context of Donegal only managing 6 points in the first half, that was a significant lead. Donegal were in big trouble here.
Yeah, big time. And I suppose, look, what we saw from the absolute outset was, you know, a really slick, a really highly motivated, a really well-organised Derry team. And yeah, like, they really took the game to Donegal. It wasn't by any means defensive. I thought it was just really, really like, they got players back behind the ball, yes, but they were just counter-attacking at ferocious speed. And, you know, all credit must go to Derry. I suppose my biggest gripe is that, you know, they don't progress any further in this competition, because if they were in any other province, they would, you know, be definitely reaching provincial finals. So yeah, it was an absolute cracker. And I think, like you say, it definitely rescued the Championship so far. I think there was something like 24 points from play, a lot of them which were low percentage shots and low percentage scores, which was just phenomenal football on display.
I mean, Derry are progressing, it seems. They won Division 3 in the league. They're playing a more offensive brand of football. Rory Gallagher's manager we would traditionally associate with defence first and pragmatism to the end, but he's put down the handbrake a touch here, it seems.
Yeah, I suppose... Well, you have to look at Derry and say, like, Derry, you know, they don't need any sympathy at all. They have probably two of the best defenders in the country, in my eyes, you know, in McKay and Rogers. And I said, it's really unfortunate that it came to them being knocked out at quarterfinal stage at Ulster, because they're a really, really class outfit. They have a phenomenal two wing backs as well that were really, really on the ball. They scuppered any threat of McHugh, and, you know, McBrearty held scoreless for the whole game, which was, you know, bar obviously the last kick of the game, which proved the decider. So they've made huge progress. And, you know, when you look at teams like Derry, and I suppose in Munster, probably not to the same extent that Derry, the strides that Derry have made, but, like, you look at, you know, teams like Limerick, and I saw them last year versus Tipperary, and putting it up to Tipperary in the Munster semi-final, you know, you really feel for these teams that this is where the buck stops, and there definitely needs to be a structural change for teams like this to progress, get more games, you know, and get further up the tiers as much as possible.
You suspect that Donegal would have been quite happy if they didn't have to risk Michael Murphy, but they did. To what extent did he change the flow of the game? It didn't seem like he suddenly got on, you know, mounting a ball or kicked 10, 15 points. And yet, I find it strange not to think he had some impact in turning the tide massively in this game either.
Yeah, like, he came on with probably about 20 minutes to go. It was needed. You know, he's such a massive presence that they just needed that bit of calm, and that's what he definitely does bring to this team, as well as stepping up and kicking two frees that were definitely kickable for Michael Murphy. But, you know, him even getting back, putting pressure on McGuigan for you know, around the goal break as well. Like, that's just what he brings. He just brings that calmness to the rest of the Donegal players. And I think seeing someone and a presence like Michael Murphy coming on the field just lifted Donegal, maybe gave them just that little bit of a boost that they needed when Derry were definitely on the ascendancy, you know.
There's something about Donegal that is hard to trust at the moment. Like, really great players, like genuinely players as good as any team in the country littered around the field, and yet you think of the Ulster Championship last year, the slip up there. You think of even the league semi-final a couple of weeks back against Dublin, which was insipid, really. It was so bad you were almost wondering were they playing their cards close to their chest, because they didn't throw a punch, really. And then again, for a huge swathe of the game yesterday, bad wides, a flatness about them, and you wouldn't say an impenetrable defence either. So you throw all that together and you'd find it very hard to trust them.
Yeah, that's it. There definitely seems to be something underlying with this Donegal team. And I suppose the biggest question mark that will come out from them is, you know, they did not grind out this win by any means. And they were very, very, very lucky. And, you know, if anything, things went really wrong for Derry and things went really wrong for Derry as opposed to things going right for Donegal.
Yeah.
You know, you can just look at all the missed chances that that Derry had, the penalty that should have been given to them that wasn't given. You know, like all the chances coming off crossbars, probably just that little bit of indecision as well. Towards the end, obviously Doherty coming up could have hand passed the ball over the bar that, you know, he chose to give to McGuigan. And there were probably only two instances of indecision in the Derry team, which was that one from Doherty and the very last, I suppose, minute and a half that we saw of them play out where, you know, no one kind of stood up and took a shot. Like it was all Derry. For me, like, they were an absolute joy to watch. And Donegal, yes, they held in there. They, I suppose, tipped away when they needed to. But for me, they didn't grind out this win. They just got very, very lucky.
Tyrone then beat Cavan 118 to 13 points. It was a decent contest for 25 minutes and then Tyrone pulled away. So how do you see Donegal-Tyrone then, Breed?
Yeah, I suppose what the great thing is that, like, it's come to a stage now where you can't actually really call the Ulster Championship. Has come to the stage now where Tyrone and Donegal are playing. Tyrone had a fairly emphatic win at the weekend. It was the McCurry show that was probably the biggest thing to come out of it, and probably the thing that Donegal will obviously focus on. So in that sense, I suppose I would be a small bit worried for Tyrone, but they have a lot of big names to come back into their team for the weekend. But I suppose for me, they probably, like, Donegal hopefully got a big enough waking up call this weekend, in that, you know, it's not about coasting, it's not about I suppose getting the rub of the green, that we have to kind of grind out the wins. And it'll make for a great battle. And like I said, it's very, very hard to call. Probably would tip Donegal slightly, but it's a very, very hard match to call, which is great. So thank God for Ulster football.
I know. I mean, genuinely, because Leinster's obviously, I want to choose my words carefully.
You want to be
respectful to those chasing Dublin, but Dublin's dominance is just outrageous in Leinster now. So you're kind of writing Leinster off in your mind. Mayo feels,
and you'd be very very, very worried about the Munster structure as well at the moment. Like, I suppose as a Cork sport, I'd be very worried going into this Munster final for, you know, the Cork team, that, you know, it was an emphatic win against Limerick. And I think if Limerick had ran at Cork a lot more, you know, it could have actually been a very different result. I think Cork only had one forward score from play, like, within 60 minutes or something like that, which, you know, isn't good enough when you're coming up against calibre of Kerry.
So do you expect Kerry to beat them reasonably comfortably, if you're being honest?
Being honest, I suppose, unfortunately, I would have to say that. That's just going on what I've seen so far.
Sure.
I suppose given the injuries that Cork had coming into that game versus Limerick, given the injuries that they picked up in that game, which I hope aren't significant, but could be ones that, you know, you're not maybe going to get right in 2 weeks if they are hamstrings, you know, they're going to be very, very significant changes for Cork. And I don't think Cork have the depth, you know, that they might have had in previous years. So, yeah, I suppose I'd just be a bit worried, all right, as Cork supporter coming into that match versus Kerry.
The theme of the weekend up until the game in Ballybuffet was that we're just not getting competitive games at this stage of the championship with nearly 20 teams out. So yeah, I think everybody was thoroughly fed up by full time in Mayo Leitrim. So, 24-point winning margin, 520 to 11 points. We'll just play a clip here of Terry Hyland, the Leitrim manager, speaking afterwards.
We've heard the rhetoric all year about the makeup of the championships and where it's going and where is football going to end up in this country, because they call it an All Ireland, but unfortunately it's not an All Ireland. It's probably top five or six counties. And my fear is that in 10 years' time it'll go like rugby, and you'll see the smaller so-called weaker counties being feeders to the bigger guys, and TV and money will come into play. And I have that fear, that's the way it's going to go.
And performance aside there, Terry, like, you know, it's what we've seen there today, evidence that the provincial structure holds nothing really for counties like Leitrim.
Well, it's not necessary as opposed to provincial, you see. It's, you know, it goes back to what has been muted by playing in a league system. anybody from Division 3, Division 4, are the better playing against their own teams, improving on the back of that, building a bit of confidence, and then have to come up against one of the bigger guys and with a little bit of something built into them and an opportunity then to go out and show the world and see, have they improved? That's the only way. Going out and get hidings like that, it's no good to anybody. You know what I mean? To be fair to the guys in there, they're frustrated. They're, you know, in bad form. You know what I mean? They'll be the guys that will get in the neck for the next 3 or 4 days. And, you know, through no fault of their own.
So that was Terry Highland. I mean, it's, you look at the opening weekend of the Ladies' Championship, for instance, and like the quality of game on offer there, just to give people a sense. In the senior division, you have Galway beating Kerry by a point. You have Cork just getting out of jail against Meath, 2-point win there. You have Cavan, 15 points. Mayo, 118, competitive. In the intermediate, you have Leitrim beating Fermanagh by a point. You have Westmeath Longford going to extra time. You have Kildare Roscommon, 4-point game. Down and Offaly, just a goal, the difference. In the junior division, you have just a goal, the difference between Antrim and Derry. So you've won, you've more games, you know, for everybody to enjoy. And secondly, 90% of those games are competitive. Like, I know they're discussing various options in November at Congress, and that's the plan. I just, at this stage, it's hard to argue for any other system other than some kind of a league system. Like, it's done, the current format, not just provincial, but just lesser teams playing against bigger teams, is just pointless exercise.
Yeah, it is. And like Leitrim, you had to feel for them. Like, Sam Maguire is not tangible for them, you know, in the current system. And I suppose I just have to go on what I know. And what I know is the latest football structure and obviously the club structure and what that my husband plays in as well. And like, I suppose the tiered system I see is something that has worked. It has worked for ladies football. And then it came to the stage, I suppose, in ladies football where, you know, the provincial titles had to be scrapped because of that tiered system. So, like, say in Dublin, say for instance, there was Dublin were the only senior team last year in the championship, so they had to change the complete structure of the ladies football structure. And look, maybe that came by default, but it's actually been for the betterment of the ladies football that we're seeing last year and this year. So yeah, they're gone into group stages. Everyone is playing 2 or 3 games. You're trying to finish top 1 or 2, and then it goes into, I suppose last year it had to be kind of fast track due to COVID, but there's, like quarterfinal, semi-final and final this year. So that's just something I suppose I've seen, I know, but look, I suppose you're talking about a lot bigger fish here, people I suppose that have massive ambitions to try to, you know, I suppose maintain their status. But I suppose you just have to look at Meath Ladies, and you touched on them, and I know I'm deviating from the GA at the moment, but you just have to look at Meath Ladies. They regraded in 2016. They were on an obvious decline in senior. They could barely field teams. They regraded in 2016. They went back, they rebuilt. They had a very, very young team, and they came up through the ranks. They came up into intermediate. They lost intermediate finals. They won an intermediate final then last year, which was also played on the same day as the senior final, which is another thing right. that I'd like to touch on. And then, you know, they're after coming up now into senior. They're after winning a Division 2 final this year, which brings them up into Division 1 next year. And they contested a match at the weekend, which, you know, gave Cork a real, real fright and, you know, nearly beat All-Ireland, the All-Ireland finalists last year by a point. So, you know, Meath is just one example. So, like, if you restructure things correctly, for me, I suppose, like, looking at the men's side of things, I don't know, would you get away with 3 tiers? You have to have something where it is, you know, maybe just 1 step as opposed to 3 steps. It might be too much to try to implement a 3-step tier at the moment. But, you know, if you do introduce a 2-step tier, it can't be the case of just 1 up, 1 down. And you have to introduce some type of incentive. So maybe something like 4 up, 4 down, if that is something that could be done. Or if not, if those 4, you know, 4 top and 4 lower of each the tier teams have to play off against each other. But that there's something tangible, something to play for, that there is a massive incentive, that you get your best county players out, that there is, you know, you're getting the same platform, you know, for both tiers, and that you're getting the, you know, you're getting the structures in place, you're getting funding in place, you're getting, you know, the best coaches in place as possible. And like I said, you're giving people a platform, you know, to display their skills and display I suppose just an enjoyment in football again. Like, how many counties do you know that their, you know, their best players aren't getting out at the moment, just because there's nothing to entice them to play county football, to give up a massive chunk of their lives to dedicate to maybe like getting knocked out at first round stage of a provincial structure. So yeah, look, just that for me, I suppose that's something, you know, that I was trying to think there now if there's anything else really, but I suppose just at the moment, like, the Sam Maguire is just not tangible, like I said, for many, many teams around the country. And like last year when I did see Limerick, I saw them making huge strides. I saw Billy Lee put in huge efforts into Limerick team last year. We saw how well they did against Watford, you know, in the opening round. And, you know, their team that needed to build and build and build momentum. And then, unfortunately, they felt that they needed to go back to a bit more of a defensive structure against Cork. And, you know, it proved their undoing. So if you could get matches, get teams, get structures. And unfortunately, I think that means that you have to get a double tier system and give give teams something tangible to aim for.
Breed Stack, brilliant stuff. Thanks so much.
No matter. Perfect. Thanks, Joe.
GAA on Off the Ball.